Morning, everyone. My name is Mark Wilson from LSU. Today I'm going to be talking to you about the measuring of the impact of irrigation distribution and nursery media on plant growth. Can everyone hear me? I need to get a little closer. Good. Okay. So we all know there's a set definition for water use efficiency when it comes to the plant. Simply put, it's the amount of water applied versus the amount of water used in an efficient manner. But when it comes to application, there isn't really a true set definition. So for the purposes of today's talk, I'm going to use water application efficiency, or WAE, as my reference point. So why is this important? In 2014, in the U.S., nursery crop production was a $4.26 billion industry. That's an increase from $3.85 billion in 2009. In Louisiana alone, we saw an 8% increase from 2013 to 2014, resulting in $107.7 million with approximately 739 nurseries in production. During this, we also found that once we looked through all these, we did a survey with all of our nursery industry through LNLA, Louisiana Nursery Association, and found that majority of those who are producing nursery crops use overhead irrigation. So with that being said, we looked into overhead irrigation when it came to efficiency. So the objectives of these studies were to determine the average volume of water being applied by overhead irrigation, determine the distribution of those yards that are being applied, and then lastly, is that media the nursery is using calibrated in any way to the irrigation they're applying? We're going to focus on the first two right now, and we'll come back to that third one. So to focus on the first two, if you look at the image on the right, you'll see five starred parishes. Those parishes are representatives of the top industry areas for the state of Louisiana, some of them being St. Tammany, Rapides, Lafayette, St. Bernard. But out of those parishes, we selected one nursery. From each nursery, we then selected three individual production yards. All had to have their own individual supply line, our main irrigation line feeding them. And then the last point, we'll come back to it, but it is good to note that from each yard, we selected three individual risers at random to test for pressure and flow. So the way this was done is that lovely apparatus on the side that my professor is still angry that I'm presenting that photo because it's not pretty. I was able to determine dynamic pressure and flow by attaching this to the top of individual riser, reattaching the irrigation head to the top of that so they perform according to spec, and then allowed to check it and irrigate for a 30-minute cycle. While doing this, we placed a series of 12 rain gauges out onto the can yard in a grid pattern furthest from the supply line or supply valve, main entry valve to the yard, indicated by the small square and then magnified for easier viewing. Along with that, there were four leachate tables placed per yard. So the table to the right, it's a little overwhelming, but from top to bottom, it's pretty straightforward. We noted that overall pressure throughout, this is a survey of all of our yards and all of our nurseries, none of them are performing really to spec. Most irrigation heads they used, once we observed them, are Syninger products or Rainbird products. Almost all require 30 PSI to 35 PSI to perform correctly. They were running a little low, not unexpected, most of them using wells. The bigger one was the flow rate was very low, and we noticed also that based on that flow rate and that pressure loss, we went through back and checked volume coming through the lines, what their main supply line was, what actually is supplying the yards, and saw that many of them, when designing their irrigation, under-spec what they should and use a smaller line to save a little bit of money up front. What that results in is the next part, which we'll get a little farther down later. You go towards media. What we did was on those leachate tables, I had a control media, which is our 5/8 pine bark, our nursery, an empty pot, and then additional rain gauges for distribution purposes. But we found that all nurseries we surveyed, none of them really optimized their media being used for the water they're applying. And like I said, the last part with the rain gauges distribution we're about to talk about in the next two slides. So what's this really mean? Well, what you see here is all the yards are performing fairly consistently, or all the heads, I'm sorry, performing fairly consistently except for one outlier, but they're all still way below that 1 acre inch approximate water we're aiming for, resulting in hot spots. Majority of the yards not getting that accurate amount of water. You're looking for kind of a middish dark green color indicated. Where's my mouse? Kind of right in here. You do get a few random spots where it gets close. The way this chart works is it actually is showing fairly accurately. Obviously, it would be a little more accurately if I would have had more rain gauges to evaluate off of. But what you see is, yes, again, hot spots, dry zones, and resulting in uneven growth, potential disease and insect pressure because of it. Same can be said on the other end of the spectrum for nursery two. All yards performing pretty much are very extremely variable, with three heads performing very close to what they want or way above. This resulted in extremely hot zones, with those four heads performing 30% higher than expected, and 50% of the entire nursery performing below that 1 acre inch that you were looking for. So what really comes down to maintenance and management. Majority of the nurseries through that same survey we found very few of them actually employ an irrigation manager or someone to monitor the water on a daily or weekly basis. Same with inorganic or organic buildup. Very common, I'm sure you've all seen it. Lichens or iron buildup, weeds pressure. But the biggest one we found is maintenance when it comes to irrigation heads. There's a little book that comes with every head that tells you how to maintain it. And what we've shown is there is nothing in that book that says take a yard flag and stick it through the hole of the nozzle to make it open again. But that's what 90% of your nurserymen probably do. So now that we've talked about those first two, we're going to swing back down to that last one and look at calibration. So the way we did this one was, first I want to know what the water holding capacity was on these. So I took it into the lab. We did an evaluation on all six medias, four replications of each, air dried them after 72 hours, masked, soaked for 24, allowed them to drain for about an hour until all free water was drained, remasked. This was again done in a field study to get a better idea of if this is really accurate, if this is really how it's going to work. 15 replications, same general principle though was applied, with irrigation ran for 30 minutes, allowed to run sit for 12 hours, and then re-ran and then masked immediately after. So what we found, either way, 17% or one nursery fell within that 45 to 65% water hold capacity range. And then 17% or another nursery fell within that 10%, the remaining 66 falling far below that 10% range. With that, we went into a growth chamber, tried to test it out, see if, well, maybe they don't need it. So we took two plants we know for stress tolerance, Lantana and Coleus, put them in a growth chamber for 42 days with three different watering treatments, a high, medium, and a low, half an acre inch, 1 inch, 2 inch. In a completely or a randomized block design. And really what we found is with Coleus, it didn't seem to matter. Not really surprising, but it didn't. Biomass for root production and shoot production stayed statistically similar. With shoot production of the Lantana, you had the higher water performing, or higher water less significant than the normal and the low, and vice versa, low with roots was significantly less than high and normal. But the big takeaway was that we also evaluated at the same time overall quality from a scale of 1 to 10 objectively, and canopy density we found was the plants became leggier or dwarfed. You had lower leaf drop, higher canopy leaf curl start to perform, and just an overall quality of unsellability start to develop. So what really take away was that obviously maintenance and monitoring is extremely key with water management, that nursery meters have a significant impact on the nursery irrigation management itself, and that very few really do focus on that, and that obviously plant growth, plant shoot and root biomass impact of water management is crucial. Kind of flew through that one, but I would like to thank Dr. Edward Bush, the Louisiana Nursery Association, Hammond Research Station, and my department, School of Plant Environmental and Soil Systems, and Dr. Paul Wilson and Brian Ward for their assistance in this. Don't need to see that part. And there we go. With that, does anyone have any questions? Thank you. So the question is, is it visually obvious with distribution? Was it off or nearby? Not really, actually. It was kind of more surprising. We all assumed, especially in Louisiana, that because there's no regulation and our industry kind of laughs about the idea that there may become a water regulation later, that they just flung water out. So we all assumed they were putting out far more than they needed. And uniformity, you still see the same growth. I mean, obviously around the edges of the can yard or production yard, you would assume to be some slightly smaller, less water, but quality-wise, in that setting, seemed to be fine. What we found was it's because they move them and prune them regularly that while they're adjusting and pulling, they're respacing them so that they're not staying in that one spot for the entire duration of their life cycle. So that kind of helped to overcome that quality issue. Anybody else? No? Thank y'all. Got a whole bunch more slides.